You're listening to Real Health with me, Carl Henry, in association with Activia. Activia offers a range of yogurts that help support a healthy gut. Your gut is where it all begins.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Welcome to the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry. Folks, it is a top tips episode, the Christmas special, because we're in December. People are starting to rev up into Christmas party mode. And for a lot of people, this is where their health and wellness tends to fall apart. I see it time and time again, thankfully not with my clients, but just generally. The busyness of Christmas, the chaos of Christmas, the late nights, the parties, the celebrations, all of that. And for a lot of people, they go through the month of December in absolute chaos. And that tends to really affect their health and their wellness, both in terms of mental health, physical health, nutritional health, basically just their health in general. And then they wake up in January and they start into whatever latest New Year's resolution there is. Now, fear not. Come January, we will bring you an episode to steer you through all the diet fails that happen all year round, but especially in January, to guide you along the path of eating well and eating for health. But forget about that. We've got 4 or 5 weeks to go until we hit that point. This episode, in terms of top tips, is all about getting through Christmas. It's getting through December with your health and wellness intact. And that doesn't mean you have to be over the top in terms of the restrictions or the choices that you make, but it does mean we're trying to create a more balanced profile when it comes to the month of December. Have the crack, have the fun, but balance it out. And don't lose track of all the hard work that you've done this year over the course of the last 11 or 12 months or so. You have worked hard, I'm sure. So don't throw it all away. And that's what these tips are all about. Let's get started. The first tip is around, well, it's around planning, really. That we know if you have a plan going into December or even week by week, or for some people, even day by day, you're more likely to succeed and be healthier than those who haven't got a plan, that let December run out of control, run away from them, and their health and wellness goals go out the door. So plan your month out. Look at your month. Pencil in the days that are the big nights or the big days. We all know Christmas Day is a day of festivities and a day of food and for some alcohol. But you map those days out. You plan for those and almost nominate them as the big days in terms of the food that you're going to eat or the alcohol that you're going to have or the lack of movement that you may have. So by planning them out, you're putting control over the course of the month. So you're controlling when those nights are going to happen. You're controlling your health and wellness a little bit more. And you can also plan around that. So for example, Christmas Day for myself, I always get a nice bit of exercise done earlier on in the day. And that means that I can enjoy the rest of the day. And that's not a guilt thing, but I actually feel better. I either go out for a run or a cycle or a surf or something like that for about an hour. I get a nice bit of activity done. I come back, I get a shower and I feel great. But again, I map all that out. For some people, they might do, you know, the Golden Mile or the reindeer runs that are on or some of the races or the Christmas Day swim. Brilliant. Plan those in, make them happen and bring people with you. Because when you plan, chances are people want to follow. They want to do exactly what you're doing. But it takes a planner, an instigator, someone to lead. And we want you to be that person this year. Plan out your month, pencil in all the stuff that you're going to do, pencil in the down days, pencil in the parties, pencil in the exercise days, just map it out and plan it. And the more you plan, the more likely it is that it's going to happen. And the more likely it is that you're going to get through what is probably the hardest month of the year with your health and wellness intact. My second tip is accountability. So it's something that I use several times a year when things get really busy. I have a coach that I'm accountable to. I send him my food diaries. I send him my exercise logs. And it just keeps me on track. So for yourself, well, for December, try that. If you really struggle with the food that you're eating, if you really struggle with motivation, try that element of accountability. So it can be a friend. It can be a partner. You can pay for that accountability like I do if you want to, with a coach or something like that. But what it does is, A, it forces you to reflect and to write down those 4 chocolate mellows that you had or the 2 glasses of whatever. It keeps you kind of honest from that perspective. So you keep a food diary, you keep a food log, and then you send it on to somebody to review it. Chances are, just by keeping the food diary, you're healthier because you have to write it down. And chances are, you know, what's good and what isn't good. You know that with the excess of whatever, be it chocolate or for me, it's Choc Mellos or chocolate Mikados. Oh my goodness, I could eat the box. I love chocolate Mikados. They're amazing. But they're also 100 calories a go. But it's having one is fine. But when you write it down, it just keeps you on track. It just, that accountability to yourself or to a coach keeps you avoiding the really big pitfalls. And then if you have had a particularly heavy evening or a heavy food day, well, then the next day can be a little bit lighter. But again, you're tracking it. Doesn't mean you have to count calories. You can if you want. For some people, it's just a regular food diary, pen, paper, write it down. For other people, it will be more specific. You'll be counting macros and, you know, your protein, your fats and all of that using the likes of MyFitnessPal. You don't have to. It's a bit over the top, but it can be handy for certain people who like that amount of information. But the key thing to remember is that by accountability, by writing it down, being accountable, you are healthier. And we're not looking for perfect, remember? We've talked about that before. We're looking for that sense of just doing your best and that your best is okay. But chances are, by being accountable and sending it to someone, you are doing your best. And it's a whole lot better than what you would do if you weren't being accountable. It's a very simple tip, but will yield huge results. It's one of the most beneficial things I do with clients. And people think that PTs are amazing. We're not, really. We provide the accountability. And it's the accountability that changes how you eat and changes how you move. And it's that accountability that delivers the results. All because you are tracking it and sending it to somebody, or even just tracking it on its own, can make a huge difference to your overall health, especially in December. The next tip is all about balance. So one of the things people struggle with when trying to be healthy over the course of a time frame is that they go all or nothing. We see it in January, but for some people, we also see it in December. So for some people, it may be, I'm not going to have any alcohol this month. That's fine if you have no alcohol all year round. But if it's only for December, well, chances are you're setting yourself up for failure. So that 80-20 approach that we talk about and we take all the time, apply that to December. So 80% of it, let's eat really well. Let's exercise really well. 20% of it, let's have the crack, however that may look for you. It's that balance that really delivers long-term health and wellness. Ideally, these habits that we talk about and these tips that we talk about, they are things that you'll do all year round. They're not just things that you're going to do randomly for a few weeks. It's forming a habit around long-term health. Planning is part of it. Accountability is part of it. And that balanced approach is absolutely part of it. It's having a drink or maybe two drinks, but not having the whole bottle. It's having a chocolate Mikado, but not the whole box. That's balance. And if you do, not feeling particularly guilty over it, you should never feel guilty over that. But it is creating the balance concept around health. And if you can do it in December, when January hits and people start to go unbalanced and do all the silly things that they always do every December that really don't work, you're ahead of them. Because you've been through December in a really balanced way. You haven't gone one or the other end of that spectrum. So it's a very simple way just to ensure you're going to get through the month healthy. But not only that, you're instilling habits and tools for life that really will help to improve your health and wellness because you're taking that 80-20 approach. 80% of the time, you're eating really well and eating healthily. And 20% of the time, you are having a treat, having the crack, having a bit of fun, having some alcohol, whatever it may be. But let's avoid the excess of one extreme or the other extreme. A simple way to stay healthy this December. My next tip is for small targets and small goals. So maybe you're listening to this thinking, okay, I'm going to take this on. I'm going to be healthier this December. That's great. And then you set a really enormous challenge, which might be, I don't know, I'm going to do 20 runs this December. And you might get 10. You're much better off getting a goal with 10 runs in place or 5 runs in place or 4 runs, one per week, and exceeding or excelling. You're setting yourself up for success. We interviewed James Clear a long, long time ago at this stage before Atomic Habits became really big. And that 1% rule that he talks about, we talk about it time and time and time again. It's setting yourself up for success, getting a little bit better each week. So in terms of the goals that you're bringing to December, set yourself up for success. Don't go for the really big, scary goal because really big, scary goals are hard to achieve. They can be done, but the success rate is really small. I've learned that myself over the course of my career in terms of exercise and in terms of races that I've done. It's great to reach for it and to try and excel, but it's very difficult to achieve that, especially in December. So look at each week. And a goal might be, I'm only going to have alcohol one day this week. Or I'm going to get my food chopped done on a Sunday. Or I'm going to keep writing things down. Or I'm going to get to the gym twice. they're all really simple ways to achieve. And it's the achievement and the feeling that you get from the achievement that makes you feel good. So why not set yourself up for achievement and success and conquering December as opposed to setting yourself up for failure? To do that, simple. At the start of each week, write them down. Pick three simple goals, like really simple goals. Write them down, make them visible, put them somewhere that you can see it, and work towards them over the course of the week. It will change everything. Because achievement breeds success, breeds motivation. They all work hand in hand in hand. So by seeing them, achieving them, you're more likely to stay healthy the second week. And by overachieving, even more so. So have a think about it as you're listening in. What do you want to do next week that will mean success to you? It might be getting to bed by 10 o'clock most of the nights. It might be not staying in bed too late. It might be watching a Christmas movie. Doesn't really matter. The key thing is you're setting some very simple, small targets. Targets that you can achieve with a little bit of effort, but not too much. So try that over the course of the month of December and just watch what happens. My next tip for Christmas survival, well, it's a little bit different actually. It's a little bit of reflection. It's putting some time aside when work and life gets a little bit quieter. I know for me, from the middle of December onwards, nobody really wants a personal train. They're all a bit too preoccupied. So I let them loose. All my clients for about two or three weeks. And I have time to myself. What happens then is I reflect. So I will put some time aside. I'll put some music on. I'll sit down in a nice comfy chair with a pen and with a paper. And I'll look back upon the year. And I'll look back at that year in several different ways. One, from a work perspective. Did I achieve the goals that I set out to achieve this year? If I didn't, I'll work through that and say, okay, what did I not do? What did I miss? What mistakes did I make? I'll reflect. I just kind of doodle words and stuff as I go. Then I'll look at it on a personal level. Did I achieve the goals that I wanted to personally this year? Did I save as much as I wanted to? Was I a good partner, a good dad? All those goals that you work towards, you reflect upon it and you pick holes in it and you challenge it. And you say, okay, well, if I didn't, why? Because that reflection, A, it's very calming. It relaxes you a little bit, de-stresses you. B, it's the foundations for a much more successful year next year, because you've looked at the holes in the plan. You've looked at the things that you're not great at. You've identified them and said, okay, I need to improve this. And then it gives you kind of a subconscious and a subliminal sense of what you're going to do next year. No one really does it because it may sound quite simple, but it's actually quite difficult. Putting time aside to reflect can be quite hard. You look at journaling and the popularity of journaling and gratitude journaling, really powerful. This is a little bit different because it's self-reflection and that makes it difficult to do. But by doing it, it gives you a sense of where you're going to go, what you're going to do, how you're going to get there, what worked, what didn't work. And be open, be honest, be critical. No one's life is full of roses. We all have things that we want to improve, but you have to identify those things before you begin to change them. So put some music on, find your comfy chair, get a pen and paper, put an hour aside where no one can get you. And write. Even go to a coffee shop, go to a restaurant, go to the beach, although it might be a bit cold. And write and reflect and have a look. By doing that, watch what happens. A sense of clarity, a sense of ownership, a sense of drive will come from the fact that you've done the hard work, you've reflected, and you know where you're going to go next year. My final tip for this episode is what to do when you do have those big nights out and how to stay healthy around that. Because we all have them and we all enjoy them and absolutely we should. But actually what makes us different is how we approach those nights and the days after that makes the lessons, the impact of them. So for example, before you go out, the key thing there is you never go out on an empty stomach, ever. Always go out with some food in the body. It makes a huge, huge difference. When you do go out, you pace yourself by going alcohol, and water. Glass of alcohol, glass of water. Glass of alcohol, glass of water. And you keep that going over the course of the night. You'll feel so much better. And it'll pace the night a little bit easier too. The reason we all go for the takeaway on the way home is the salt in the takeaway. So if you're going to go for the takeaway, fine, get something. But if you're not and you want to wake up with less of a hangover the next day, yeah, some electrolytes or diuretics, something like that, will make a big difference. So the last drink before you go to bed should be a pint of water. That's really important. And if it's a particularly heavy night, put some electrolytes into the water and drink that. It'll lessen the effect of the hangover the next day. So staying healthy during that big night out is not the hardest thing in the world, but the key thing is big meal, a full tummy before you go, water, alcohol, and electrolytes before you go to sleep. Very simple. The next day then, the key thing is that first meal is really, really important. So the first meal that you eat will dictate how the whole rest of that day is going to go. If you wake up and you dive into the tin of biscuits or a big sugary cereal or something like that, chances are that's how your day is going to go. Your blood sugars are going to spike, you feel brilliant, they drop, you feel terrible, and you top them up and they all go up and down all day. The issue with that is you're going to eat your way through that day with high sugar foods, high salt foods, foods that make you feel crap. And you're just going to feel worse as you lie on the couch and try and recover. If that first meal is healthier, chances are the rest of the day is going to be healthier too. So whatever the first meal is, first of all, have the food there. Know what's in the house. Again, if it's a cereal, bran flakes, all bran, whole grain, shredded wheat, something grainy, something brown. Brown toast, eggs, always really good. Even a grilled fry actually isn't particularly unhealthy. It's actually fairly okay. That's fine. Or else you go for your porridge. Healthy, something reasonably healthy will help you to stay on track over the course of that day, along with your water. And you know that, again, with electrolytes if you need them. But it'll make a big difference if you can nail that first meal. The rest of the day will really, really come good. The other thing for the day after a big night out is some form of movement. It'll be the last thing you want to do, trust me. But especially if it's cold outside and windy outside, it's the best thing for you. We're getting loads of research over the course of the last couple of years around the benefits of that kind of cold, kind of autumnal, wintry wind. It's really good for you in terms of, it's just good for the body. So get out, get moving. Doesn't have to be fast movement, just get out and get moving. Don't lounge around all day because chances are you're going to eat your way through that day. You'll get to the end of the day feeling even worse than when it started. It's all around having the foods there that you want to eat, getting some exercise done early and nailing that first meal. It makes a big, big difference. Similar to the first tip, if you have that big night, know when those big nights are. Have them every now and again and then plan around them in terms of your food and your movement, and even a dip in the sea. If you live anywhere near the sea, a little dip in the sea will always make things a little bit better. So folks, at the start of this episode, we wanted to give you some very simple tips in terms of how to stay healthy over the course of the month of December. Nothing too scary, nothing too extreme, but just very simple content that we know is going to make a big difference to how you get through this month. Don't forget, if you are looking for more motivation, the podcast library is there with over 300 episodes with lots and lots of content over the course of the last 5.5 years of podcasting every single Thursday. And I'm very proud of that. We haven't skipped a beat, thankfully. But there's a lot of content there with experts in their fields. So if you're looking for a bit of extra motivation, jump into the library. You can listen to any of the episodes there. They always stay live. And it'll help you to stay focused over the course of this month. I really hope that you took something away from today's episode. Enjoy December. Have a wonderful week. I'll see you soon.